Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Westonka at Busch Lake. Those that are joining us online, but especially could I say thank you to anyone who is at any one of those sites who is a guest today. So great to have you with us. I'm Joel, I'm pastor of the church, and this is...
My name is Clint, and I serve as the executive pastor and my favorite job here, campus pastor for this Chanhassen community.
I thought I'd take an opportunity just to clarify some of the role of Clint in his journey. You've been with us how long?
Well, I don't count every day, but it's been 18 months.
Yeah. 18 months, 2 days, and 7 hours. So it's going great, though, right?
Yeah, it's been a joy.
He's been by my side. Such a gift to have Clint with us. We hired him as the executive pastor, but we've been making some moves, and he has more of an external, increasingly external-facing role. So at each of our sites, we have a campus pastor. We've longed for one for a long time here on the Chan campus, and finally that happened with you. But Dan Hayes is at Westonka. Chris Aldrich is over there at Busch Lake, and Clint is here. But we're all one together as one church. But recently, we've also elevated Clint's voice in a teaching role. So there's a rotation that you're observing that's taking place this year, and that is Pastor Ben Griffin, Pastor Clint, and myself. I still offer most of the Sundays up, but you guys are sharing in this rotation. I'm so grateful to have this teaching team that's with me. So just to bring clarity along the way. And because we're updating you from 1 year ago, Love Builds, you've been with me through the whole duration.
Since the start, yeah.
So I would say we're going to have some fun together. You're going to get an update on what's taking place, and Clint's going to share it with me. So let's head down.
Let's jump into it.
Yeah, first of all, I think just to remind everybody, it was 1 year ago that you said yes to, it was a declarative yes, by the way, to participate in a generosity initiative that would accelerate our 2028 Here Near Far vision. We actually cast it in 2018. So last year we were at the halfway point and said, coming out of COVID and everything else, could we use an accelerator to put it back in motion, put it on the radar of everybody because vision leaks.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. We called it Love Builds. And we anchored it in two primary scriptures, one that speaks of the way of Christ and one which speaks of the mission of Christ. And the way of Christ is anchored into Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 8:1. It says, we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds. And isn't that true? Love builds us up. Love builds others up. And love builds the reputation of God's love up all around the world. And this love is compelling because it's not soft, it's not sentimental. In the English, we just have this word love, but I feel like it's been defined more by Hollywood than by God and what he has for us. This is not a soft, sentimental love. It's a serving love. It's sacrificial. It's other-centered. It's powerful. It's life-transforming. And so that most famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I would call that sacrificial serving. That those who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, I would call that life transforming. So we've had this phrase at Westwood for almost since the beginning. If we could only get the love thing right, there's no end to what we could be or do for God's glory and our neighbor's benefit. We just don't always get the love thing right, but we seek to grow in love all the time. And so we have as our 2024 goal, one word, Christ-likeness, that we would grow to be and love like Jesus because it is the way of Jesus, but also the mission of Jesus is important in this rhythm of living.
Well, and that's what Love Builds is endeavoring to do, is accelerate forward a vision that this church has been in for almost 6 years now. I think 2018 is when that vision was first launched, Here Near Far, goes through 2028. So we have this practice of 10-year visions as a church where we align kind of resource and thinking and strategy and prayer toward, can we see a move of God happen through us? Which is, I mean, if you could just stop and pinch yourself when I say that, that God in his wonder decides to use us.
Yeah.
And then we're invited into this. So Acts 1:8 would be kind of the anchoring verse for the vision that is here near far, which Love Builds is accelerating forward. You'll see it here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I just hope as you maybe take in those words, They're probably very familiar words for us who follow Jesus, for those of us who are part of church, for those of us who are part of Westwood. I pray it's very familiar words to you because it's anchoring the vision that we're currently in. And one of the things there's two things I hope you catch in that one little verse is it's not that little. It's big in terms of the vision that's right there. And it's this idea that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, can't be contained. That there's this reverberating nature to the gospel that it begins here, but all it wants to do is go near and to go far. So to give you an idea of what we mean by here, near, and far, you know, for the ancients, Jerusalem was their here. For us today, it's Chanhassen, or it's Bush Lake, or it's West Tonka. It's the communities that we find ourselves in, the neighborhoods that we call home. Near for them would be the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria, the surrounding regions. For us, it would be our city, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. That would be near for many of us. And as we share some stories in just a few moments, one of the things I hope you catch about the opportunity of being in this city at this point in history is that the nations have come here. Yeah. And there's an opportunity for us to be gospel witnesses to the world without even having to go on a plane. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then it's far. It goes to the far reaches of the world. For them, back in the ancient times, their far was us.
Yeah.
The gospel had not yet come to many of the places where we have ancestry or where we call home. And now the script is kind of flipping in a sense where now God's asking us to go back to the places where the gospel once was and share again the good news of Jesus for people who have not yet heard so that they too can know life and life abundant. And yeah. So this vision is something that I pray you realize is given to us. Remember back to the words, the second thing I want you to catch, who is it that will receive power? Who is it that will be witnesses here, near, and far? God in his goodness decides to use us as his people to share that wonderful, wonderful message. So that is what I hope you're going to get excited about as we really tell a bit of the story.
Yeah, Clint, I'm with you. I pinch myself around that and really question, and you might even be skeptical around this reality, but God, when he breathed life into you, he purposed you to be part of the fulfillment of his mission here, near, and far. And it's been elevated for us because the gravitational pull is to take care of us, but the mission was for near and far as well. And so we're going to give that opportunity with three words primarily today: gratitude, celebration, and prayer. Gratitude, we just want to thank God for an amazing mission that would include us and release us for his purposes. And we want to thank you for saying yes to that mission in such a profound way in this last year. But it's beyond gratitude. It's also a time to celebrate.
Yeah, and I will point your attention to, this probably is on every chair, hopefully. It's just a little two-pager that gives you a little bit of a rundown. For those watching online, if you want to, you can find a link to this in the chat for those of you that use that online chat. And then we're not going to be able to go through all the stories today, but we are going to celebrate. And what I almost want you to anticipate is we're actually going to share a few videos as well to give you a window into how God is on the move here, near, and far. And this will touch your heart.
Yeah.
It will remind you that, I mean, we sang in worship today that God is good and he's never going to let us down. You will be renewed again, realizing that that is exactly who God is.
Yeah.
He is good.
And then we're going to have some time for prayer as well, because prayer is our way forward. Over the course of this last year, we have just raised the bar of praying. And every place we are gathering, as staff, in our events, as a church, there are prayer walks taking place, prayer available after the services. So we want to take some time for prayer as well. But let's jump into the here. And because we know that many of you might be new in the last year, we want to do a little bit work of just defining, because vision leaks. Sure. So let's just anchor ourselves in the reality of what here, near, and far includes. You pick it up with here.
Yeah, well, and maybe a framing thought as you see this here definition come up is here, near, far is the vision anchored in Acts 1:8. And then you're going to notice some strategic kind of words here. 10-10-10 was the language that you had shared in 2018 about how are we going to see our church, how is God going to use our church to be impactful here in our communities near across the Twin Cities and then far across the world. So here's what was, you spoke in a message in 2018. Here's what we believe God's leading us with this here vision. And that is by God's power, again, referencing Acts 1:8, and in faith, we will start 10 new microsites, multi-sites, or church plants by 2028. And so what I want to do is give a progress report. We're at 6 so far. So on the way to 10, we are at 6 different expressions of Westwood. And those expressions take on a number of different contours. And you'll notice that in the language, multi-site, micro-site, church plan. What does all that mean? Some of us, you know, may be seeing some of that terminology for the first time or the first time in a long time. And so just to give you some clarity, a church plant would be an independent church. So a community of people that is sent out from one church to go plant another church that likely doesn't have a very intimate relationship with the sending church, although there will be network relationships. So a good example of that would be Westwood. Westwood was planted out of Wooddale Church back in 1995. At the 10-year anniversary of our church, 150 people went out to plant Westbrook Church, which is down in the Chaska Carver area. And so these are churches that are started out of the overflow of what God's doing in a community, and they're released with partnership to go and reach the people of their community as they see God leading them. We have not done a church plant yet as part of the 10-10 vision, but I know that that will be something we continue to pray about and anticipate. A multi-site would be similar to a church plant where a group of people are sent out to another community, but they have a tethered relationship to the sending church where they share in our teaching, they share in our ministry strategies or practices, they kind of tap into some of the infrastructure that the sending church has, and we have those at Bush Lake and West Tonka. And then a multi-site or a micro-site would be similar to a multi-site in terms of its relationship, but the kind of expression of what that church looks like is maybe 15 to 50 people.
Yeah.
So it's a smaller community that leverages the resources of the spaces that it's already in addition to drawing from the resource from the sending church. So we have micro-sites that meet in senior living centers. We have two of those, plus we have one that meets in a prison. So if you add those three, plus our two campuses, plus the online community, that's how we get to 6.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, you talk about what's happening with Here Near Far. It's gospel sharing, it's church planting,
right.
But it's also opening our hands with unprecedented amounts of mercy. And I would love for you to share more of how what that's happening here.
Yeah, that's really the substance of 1:8. Open hands, unprecedented amounts of mercy to those in need, because Jesus met felt needs, yours, others, on the way to meet spiritual needs. But gospel sharing and church planning is part of that measurable outcome of the work of the Lord. And one of the open hands initiatives that we want to highlight, put a spotlight on from this last year is our Hope House. But I want to put up onto the screen a few logos, because there's a partnership of four different entities. If I could simplify it, it starts with Westwood and a vision that we would be a church that would be incarnational, that we'd be present in the community and make a difference. What came out of that vision was the beginning of the Open Hands Foundation. So you may not know this, Westwood has a foundation called the Open Hands Foundation. It's an extension of our outreach to the broader community. It seeks to reach unmet needs, which historically is quite interesting, because the church for centuries was at the center of the town. Even the building construction was in the main part of town, and the voice of the church was heard by everybody in the surrounding town. Over the last number of decades, there's been a drift of the voice of the church. So we've become the little white church on the edge of town, which is quite beautifully, I mean it metaphorically, that we've kind of lost our voice. And we're letting the government agencies, social agencies, et cetera, meet some of those needs. No, the church has a role in it. Matthew 5, Jesus says, let them see your good deeds that they will praise your Father in heaven. That part of our job is to take the goodness of God given to us and extend it into the broader community. And so when we moved on to this property, we decided, and Chan Hassan, that we would give 10% of this property to the community good, just for the good of the community. And that's happened in all kinds of ways. One of those is a Hope House. We identified an unmet need, that is kids in crisis. We opened up a home that we have on the Chan Hassan campus in 2025. Listen to this, or 2015. Since 2015, we have been able to serve 750 kids in crisis. There is no shelter in the Southwest region of the Twin Cities. You have to go into Hennepin County. And when we began, we didn't know what the need would be or the scope of it. We've been overwhelmed by the scope of that need. We serve kids. It's 14 to 19 years of age. And because of that, it takes special licensure, mm-hmm. compliance, because they're minors. And so we partner with another organization called 180. So the house is the Hope House logo, and then it's 180 degrees. And they have a commitment to come alongside the kids, teach them responsibility, try to reunite them back to their home. It's kind of like triage.
Yeah.
They're dealing with kids in crisis. It's going to the emergency room. That's what our Hope House really does. We have a 90-day window. Up to 90 days they can be there, and then they have to transition along the way. Well, little did we know how impactful this would be. So I've been eager for a long time to share with you the person who oversees that home with the 180 degrees in partnership with us. His name is CJ. He's an unbelievable leader. His staff are extraordinary. They deal with the day-to-day grind of kids in crisis. And then we have a pastor at Westwood who's been here a long time, Diane DeConing, who serves as a chaplain and a link to the work that we do along with our executive pastor, Rod Provart. I want you to hear CJ's story and Diane's story concerning what happens in the Hope House and then the significance of Love Builds to follow. So this is CJ.
We talk about vocation. There's vocational living. There's something that you're called to do and that you just know in your heart of hearts that this is what I'm supposed to do. I believe that servant leadership, that's my vocation. I'm Charles Hallman. Everyone calls me CJ. Minneapolis native and a person who believes in purposeful living. My job is to oversee the programming and functioning of Hope House, providing direction and vision for the staff, hiring and training. Ultimately, the full idea of how we advocate and provide services at Hope House starts with me. My whole life, I've always believed that I was here to help other people. Growing up in Minnesota with a mother who was a pastor in the African-American Episcopal Church and a father who was a sports writer and a basketball coach and a teacher. Needless to say, I think there was a lot of instruction that went along in our household. But I think what was special about growing up that way with my mom is that my mom actually gave me freedom to figure out my relationship with God. It was known that your relationship with Christ is going to be your relationship with Christ. But that was something that is very significant of when I talk about purposeful living, is having the opportunity to kind of figure it out for myself. And my faith has kept me anchored in this work in a way that I knew it would, but it becomes more evident every day.
So CJ understands the needs of the house or even the teenagers on a day-to-day basis, and then he and I communicate so that I can mobilize volunteers to meet some of those practical needs that the teenagers have or that the Hope House has.
So Hope House is necessary because on any given night, 5,000 youth are without a safe place to sleep. When a youth is on the street, the percentages of them being exposed to drugs or sexual exploits, they rise. That also drives up the number of teen suicide. So a teen could end up at Hope House through many different ways, but once they are brought into intake, we try to not overwhelm them, but we just try to meet them at the spot where they know, like, you're safe here. And we work in collaboration with a lot of different aspects of this youth's life to try to make sure that they have the things that they need within this immediate time. But we do work to have a transformative experience that they do leave with some significant change and some tools and some things that they can use and fall back on when they get to the next step.
The ministry of presence is real. Entering into their space and into their world and being curious about who they are and how God wired them is what being a chaplain is about.
I think that all our staff at Hope House have a desire to be a change agent. Our job is to advocate and provide them with services, give them hope and a purpose without overstepping.
They provide hope and can see goodness in each teenager who walks through the door, in each experience and conversation they have. The calling to love on teenagers like Jesus did brings them back, even though this is the hardest work they've ever done.
I mean, as a servant leader, you're accepting the fact that it's not going to be easy, that everything's not going to be perfect, but you're going to lead to the best of your ability. In the church, we would say it's walking by faith, right? Not by sight. Well, my faith gives me the opportunity to believe that we plant seeds of hope, although we won't see the end result on the other side of their journey.
Would you join me in thanking CJ and their staff? I said they've gained the respect of my heart. I'm telling you, working with kids in crisis day in and day out is extraordinary. And when a teen makes their way to Hope House, we want to meet them with love, serve them with dignity, and offer them hope. Just a quick story. This is just a recent story that came out of the Hope House in the Southwest Transit, which is close here to Chanhassen. There was a young gal who was sleeping on the bench, and an employee of the Southwest Transit noticed her, went outside and said, "You were here yesterday on that bench and you're here today. Can we help you? Is everything okay? Do you need food?" She had no identification. She had no food. She had no place to go. She was homeless and stuck. That employee of Southwest Transit
knew about the Hope House.
She knew about the Hope House.
Yeah.
And called the Hope House. We had a place. She brought her over to the Hope House. She was met with love and dignity and hope. And she stayed for 90 days. And in those 90 days, they got her a driver's license. Well, they taught her how to drive first and got her driver's license.
Yeah.
Always a good way to go. They trained her in how to interview for a job. They helped her put a resume together. They gave her life skill developments. Some of it was basic, but in that 90-day window, she left, she got a job, and she's now living independent in our own backyard. We give thanks to God for that work of Hope House and what they're doing. That's what's taking place there. So, you know, the reality is it's needed, but not all the stories are so positive. By the way, 90% of those kids that transition from the Hope House transition into safe housing. 90%. That's extraordinary. But when we opened in 2025, we had no idea what the need would be, but we've turned away 1,300 kids since 2015.
Yep.
And we turned away 184 kids in 2023. So Love Builds comes to say, we said, let's go to our church and say, would you be willing to upgrade the existing Hope House because it could use a little upgrade?
Right, right.
It's an old house. And then could we build a new house to expand our beds? And would you be willing to give $1 million for that initiative? And you said, yes.
A resounding yes.
That $1 million has been pledged and has come in. So we are currently doing building design with the hope of putting a shovel in the ground this year. But Clint, you give an update on the status of where we are funding and the rest of the project.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and you know, what I just love about the Hope House story is that it's a 1960s house that's been on this property ever since Westwood was able to take possession of it. And I think initially it was maybe used as a missions home and things like that, but at the end of 2015 or beginning of 2015, I think a study was done. What are the needs in this community? And it was shocking to realize that team homelessness and crisis was pretty much at the top.
Yep.
And this church took a bold step of faith and said, well, we could be part of the solution. We have a home. What if we open that up? And the Hope House journey has started since then. And the rate limiting factor for us to meet needs for teen homelessness is not funding. It's not staff, typically, it's capacity.
Yeah.
And the reason that we turned away 180 plus kids is because there weren't enough beds in order to ensure that they had the adequate support. And so it's a $2.4 million project in order to build a second Hope House attached to the current one and then renovate the current one as well. So it would take the capacity from 6 beds to, I think it's
13
beds, and then 4 rooms to 13 rooms. So they'll all be single occupancy rooms. Like Pastor Joel mentioned, 1 million pledge from Love Builds already in. Since then, 1 million has already been raised.
Yeah.
And there's a balance left of just shy of 500,000. And this is a community asset. Yeah. And so one of the things that I know the Open Hands Foundation is doing is going to community leaders, business leaders, and saying, hey, this is for us together. The property happens to be here at Westwood, which we're joyous to be able to give that for the needs of our community, but let's rally together. And once all that money is raised, shovel goes in the ground. And I think we're trying to target early next year when it'd be ready for operation.
Yep, that's the goal. This summer, shovel in the ground. Hopefully January, February, March, we'll be seeing the new Hope House. So just thank you for being, your willingness to step into that. We're so grateful. I know in the years to come, when I get old and gray, some of you are thinking, Joel, you're gray now, just subtly. I'll drive by all of our sites, so grateful for the outreach that each of our sites are about. Mm-hmm. But I go by that Hope House. I have to offer a prayer for those kids. They've taken my heart. I didn't realize that we had this kind of crisis. Mm-hmm. And I'll be thankful for a church that said, yeah, we're going to be part of that solution for the greater good of the community. CJ is here on our Chanhassen campus today. We have people at each of our sites and a table. So stop by. We have a prayer that's been written. A written prayer that helps you just to pray for those kids. So stop by at the table, learn some more information. That would be great. That's spotlight on here. We got to go to near, unless we all have lunch together, which I'm game with that too. But near we define this way: by God's power in faith and through partnerships, we will launch 100 new church plants for the ethnically diverse populations in the Twin Cities. This is amazing because it's the Acts 1:8 reality of God's love for the families of the earth. It's real. That the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, where God says, I'm going to bless you, Abram, and the people who will come from you, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, that God's heart has always been for the families of the earth, and they are at our doorstep. Mm. There are approximately 196 nations in the world today. 162 are in the Twin Cities. There are 252 languages spoken in the Twin Cities. Get a hold of this. The population growth of the Twin Cities in the last 20 years, 82% of the population growth of the Twin Cities has been immigrants. And only 89% have any kind of association or connection to a church. So Open Hands, unprecedented amount of mercy to meet needs is really important. Gospel sharing and church planting, it's important for their souls. It's important for the fabric of the Twin Cities and the life still to come. And the outcome of that vision to see 100 churches partnering with indigenous leaders around the Twin Cities is already underway. 43 of the 100 have been started.
Yep. And 4 in the last 3 months.
4 in the last 3 months. They're like bunnies now. We're starting to populate quickly. But one of the great things around the NEAR ministry, which has surprised us with the impact in such a short amount of time, has been the construction that we've done completed in the last year. I'm telling you, God is on the move. We call it the Hub. They're out at the Bush Lake campus. What's the Hub and what do they do?
Well, and one quick aside on the NEAR piece is that's my story.
It is.
You know, our family came as immigrants to the United States from South Africa. We came to Minneapolis, of all places. It's great.
Beautiful.
And we came in June, and then October came,
perfect.
And we thought, wow, this is winter. And there'd be people like, no, that's not the winter, that's the fall. What are you talking about? But it's amazing that God has, think of where we live at the point of time that we live in. The nations have come here.
Yeah.
It's unprecedented. And our church is saying, how can we be part of what is a move of God? And the Hub is a direct expression of that, creating space where indigenous leaders, ethnically diverse leaders, can come, be resourced. We give that space away to churches like Destino, Global Harvest, and Parazim. They get to use that space to conduct services and leadership development. We have a number of different organizations that come and do training and development there. We have this wonderful partnership with an organization called Alight, which hosts a sewing group for refugee women, Afghan refugee women specifically, so that they can find a place to belong and a place to become. Yeah. And they, you know, many of them have come, they don't speak English, they have no real connections here other than maybe some other family connections that they have. And they get to walk into a church. And the perception and the understanding that they have of who the church is gets to be formed. Yeah. And they realize the church is hospitable, the church is full of love, the church is here to provide a place for you to belong and to find a sense of connection to the community. And these are Muslim women,
yes,
for the most part. And they come lonely and they leave connected, yeah, because of the generosity of this space. So it's trailblazing, yeah, in ways that, really, yeah, I just, yeah, think that deserves it a does. Pink clap to God, because it's beautiful work. Beautiful work.
I give a shout out to West Tonka and to Bush Lake and to the Chanhassen campus, because the united generosity has allowed us to subsidize, mm-hmm, the families of the earth. Anyone can come from the families of the earth and use that for training, development, gathering, and we pray that that will continue. Let's go to the FAR.
Yeah.
And the FAR definition is this: by God's power, in faith, and through partnerships, we will launch 10,000 church plants in the least reached regions of the world by 2028. Mm. I chuckle when I read 10,000 church plants, because that number's changed.
Yeah, that was not the original number, right?
Tell some of the outcome in this past year.
Yeah, well, when you shared this vision in 2018, the initial number was 1,000 church plants. So it went 10, 10, 10. So 10 to 100 to 1,000. Then I think 3 years in, we were almost at 1,400 churches,
yeah,
started through partnerships with a key organization called the Timothy Initiative, yeah, which we have that virtual experience coming up, the VR headset, that gives you a window into their work. It's pretty compelling and powerful. And so when Love Builds kicked off last year, we thought, why not add a zero? And let's see if we can get to 10,000 churches. Right now we're at 2,600.
Yeah.
Because in these church plants is a desire to plant other churches. And we have a lot of work in Africa, yeah, and in Southeast Asia, particularly a country called Myanmar, which I know we want to share an update on.
Yeah, just we had the national leader in Myanmar here in 2019, November, with his family, and his son was dealing with a life-threatening disease. And I'm going to say Westwood just surrounded them, connecting with care, hospitals, et cetera. It was amazing. And he himself has health issues. In December of 2019, I joined another leader here from Westwood and went to Myanmar to see firsthand the work. All I can tell you, it was like the first century. It's like you're reading Acts. I've been to over 50 countries. I've never seen anything like it. It's everyday Christ followers like you, mm, going through training to say, I want to reach my neighbors. And then they do. They do. And it's an extraordinary event that's taking place there, the move of God in Myanmar. And when we came back, we said, we're going to adopt Myanmar. And we've made a commitment with an organization to plant 1,000 churches in between now and 2018. You're, yeah, going to get an update on that as well. And this is the story of that national leader. And we were grateful that he was willing to give us time. Because as you know, in February 1st, 2021, there was a military coup that took place. And we thought it would thwart the work of the Lord. It has not. Mm. But the circumstances are humbling. Brutal killings, rape. It's 2.1 million people displaced.
Yeah.
And they're hardly in the news because there's so much trauma in the world today. We hardly hear anything about it. But he's still there leading. This is his and their story through the work of God. Take it in.
As many of you know, we've been supporting church planting work in the country of Myanmar since 2018. In 2021, there was a shocking and violent military coup that is still ongoing today. The people in power are not open to the idea of Christianity and are actively persecuting those who proclaim the name of Jesus. We spoke with our in-country partner recently, and he shared a few updates, a little bit about the current conditions, where they are seeing God at work, and an update on his family's health. First, the coup. He shared that this coup and those who are in power are so evil and so severe that the whole country has been in a state of chaos since the takeover. 60 million people are living in fear, many of whom are under threat of immense persecution. Millions have fled into the jungle, into nearby countries, and into refugee camps. Thousands of people are being captured and tortured, even until death, some even being burned alive. As he shared with us, he struggled to find words that express how his people are suffering right now in his country. The army is burning village after village, houses, several towns, several villages are completely destroyed and abandoned. In his words, he shared, quote, "It's more than what we can imagine. Every day we see jet fighters, combat helicopters flying over our houses, over our training centers, over our churches, bombing and killing innocent civilians who have nothing to do with the politics. It is so severe. As we spoke to him, we really were able to get a sense of the pressure and risk of danger that so many face in his country. But the incredible thing about speaking to him was the light of Christ that shines so brightly through him. He went on to share about the work that God has them doing. He said, quote, "We want to see the movement of God happening in our country. We know that people are in fear, looking for hope. People are looking for peace right now." He shared that currently they have more than 350 active training centers, over 5,000 church planters across the country. And in 2023 alone, they had over 13,000 new believers come to the Lord, 4,000 baptisms, and over 1,000 new house churches were planted. And those churches were able to serve around 10,000 widows, orphans, and children who are suffering. He said, quote, "This is marvelous in our eyes. We see God is moving in our country because of the work he has given us." It's incredible to hear how God is moving in spite of the persecution they are experiencing. And as he talked, his steadfast perseverance, his faith, and his hope in Christ is what stood out the most to us. He also expressed his deep gratitude for the prayers of those at Westwood and noted the remarkable improvement in his health and miraculously in the health of his son. If you recall when he visited us in 2019, his son had a tragic brain cancer condition and was not expected to live more than a few years. He shared this miraculous update with us. His son had an MRI and CT scan in January, and all of his medical checkups came back clear. He said, quote, "We are so grateful to God. We are so thankful. And thank you, all of you, for your prayers, your support, and your concern. It means so much to us. Because of you, we are able to stand even in the midst of this situation. We are able to stand for the glory of God. We love you. Thank you. And God bless you all." So Westwood, may we all be reminded of the oppression and difficulty millions of people around the world experience because of their faith in Jesus. May we continue to pray for them and petition God to favor them and their work so that the gospel would go forward in the world in miraculous ways. We'd like to invite you into a time of prayer for the persecuted church around the world. We'll rejoin the Chanhassen campus momentarily, but before we do that, would you take a few minutes to pray for those who are experiencing persecution right now? Please follow the prompts on the screen and pray as you feel led.
Spirit of receptivity to the power of God in your life, but even around the world. Lord, hear these prayers. Lord Jesus, you came and you gave up your life for us. And there are many who have said yes to following you and have given up their life for you, the martyrs of the faith. And I think of the four evangelists in Myanmar working with our team who were killed the last month, provide for their families and continue to accelerate your love, which builds up here, near, and far. And we will be your church, and we will be available to serve your purposes. here and in the years to come. Let your power be within us to the end that we would be your witnesses here, near, and far to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go to Let's Meet.
Sounds good.
You can give a closing word here, okay?
No, thanks, Pastor Joel.